EY today.
Of course, we're heading to Washington to find out what the scoop is at Foggy Bottom, or in and around Foggy Bottom anyway. Who better to chat about Washington news with than Victoria Jones from Talk Radio News? Victoria, it's the same old soap opera. We certainly know that. It's about the debt ceiling and whether or not the United States is going to default on its loans and what's going to happen August 2nd, what the president's maneuverings are, what's going on with the Republicans, what's going on with the Democrats. I mean, those are the broad strokes. But I guess today, Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, went nuts because he didn't realize something was going on behind his back. What was that?
Yeah, well, there is apparently this deal that allegedly is being cut between the president and the speaker. And Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid confronted White House Budget Director Jack Lew during a Thursday afternoon meeting about the secret talks. "I'm the Senate Majority Leader. Why don't I know about this deal?" Reid demanded as soon as the budget director walked into the room for a meeting. Then Lew shot back, "If there's a deal, then the president doesn't know about it, the vice president doesn't know about it, and I don't know about it." Now, that may be not quite true because other people do know about it. Now, another report says that the exchanges in this meeting were described as fierce, angry, even screaming reception that Jack Lew got from the Senate Democratic Caucus.
Wow. Oh, some truly fireworks.
The Democratic congressional leaders went to the White House to meet with the president for nearly 2 hours this evening. But the Senate Democrats really are very, very concerned that the deal involves spending, big spending cuts, big cuts on Medicare, and a promise from Republicans of taking up tax reform next year. And they're like, "No, we're not doing it on a promise because we don't believe that they'll do it." John Kerry saying, "A year is way too long to wait for tax reforms. If you take key parts of the deal off the table, then how do you come up with a fair-minded approach to what's on the table?" And Sheldon Whitehouse saying, "It would be very hard to take Republicans at their word that they would do anything later on."
Yeah. Saying that, what would they do later on, or taking them at their word? What's interesting is news broke that John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, who, of course, had that golf date with the president, I guess now it's been probably 4 weeks, but apparently the Dems are saying that the president and Boehner are closer to that deal, that debt ceiling deal that we're just talking about here, but yet Boehner's kind of denying that, right?
Yes, Boehner even went on the Rush Limbaugh show and said, "Well, Rush, there is no deal, no deal publicly, no deal privately, there is absolutely no deal."
Yeah, somebody's confused.
Yeah, now we have to bear in mind that the Senate is supposed to vote tomorrow, Saturday at the latest, but tomorrow really, on the House passed bill, you know, cut, cap, and balance. And that's the bill that would require Obama to accept twice the spending cuts in return for raising the debt ceiling. So whatever the deal is that Obama and Boehner are trying to cut, if they are, it's not such a stringent deal as cut, cap, and balance. So no wonder he's denying it.
Yeah. All right. So we'll see. Somebody there is doing a dance. Speaking of dancing, this dance is over. The Pentagon, don't ask, don't tell. It's done, right?
That is what the military is expected to announce tomorrow. Senior military Admiral Mike Mullen, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and the Defense Secretary are meeting with the President tomorrow at 2:45 in the Oval Office, and it is expected that tomorrow they are likely to let him know that they are ready, that the certification, which is this last required step under repeal legislation, is done, and that they are ready for gays, lesbians, and bisexuals to openly serve in the armed forces, and that announcement is likely to be made tomorrow.
All right, heading into the weekend, a lot of things to talk about. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thanks. So the focus, of course, is the budget, the budget, the budget. And ultimately, is there a deal? Is there not a deal? Who's zooming who? As I was saying there, interesting, Boehner says no deal. But yet everything that comes out of Washington, it sounds as though there is a deal. And what happens in the Senate versus what happens in the House? And ultimately, what does it mean to you and me, really? That's the bottom line. Coming up on this hour of America Tonight, we're going to talk about Libya and the situation there with Muammar Gaddafi. Our terrorism expert, Jeff Atticott, joins us to dissect all that's happened since the start of this conflict. And by the way, he gives an interesting number when we talk about NATO, clearing up the mystery of how big a part the U.S. plays in the overall umbrella of NATO. I think you'll be surprised by the percentage he throws out. Also, in light of the shark attack the other day in North Carolina, that poor 5-year-old girl in 18 inches of water, the big mistake out at 5:30 in the evening, we're going to talk to a surfer turned shark expert as she researched beaches. Where can you go where you feel like you're pretty much shark proof? And some interesting things turn up there too, because bull sharks and great whites, the most dangerous. Many of you listening to me live near beaches where you'll get that occasional bull shark, or you hear about an attack and it's a surfer or somebody paddling because they look like a seal. And what's happened, and she'll talk about this, is the fact that the bull sharks now have shown up in rivers in Florida especially. So who knows? You think you're okay, you're in a river, and all of a sudden there's a bull shark because they like that water, and then they come on in, and it changes the ecosystem and the dangers to man, certainly, more than anything. So we'll also do that. And then at the tail end of the hour, as we head for the exit, some great odds and ends. What's the latest on Rupert Murdoch? It's just fun stuff, I think. Fun stuff in the sense that everybody is picking his bones. They are trying to just pick on the bones of Rupert Murdoch. Also, huge news. The NFL lockout. Has it ended? Is this it? Is there going to be some signatures and an actual collective bargaining agreement? Will we see football this year? Go to games? Talk about it? Do nail the score? Well, the owners, anyway, overwhelmingly vote for a tentative agreement to end the lockout. Huge. That's huge. 2 hours. Everybody goes crazy. This has been a long time coming. We talk about the deficit. If you really, you could rewind the clock, because also Band-Aids were put over this situation. This has been 38 months. 38 months. So early in the evening, it becomes official with a 31-zip vote. And the commissioner was grinning from ear to ear. So we're going to let you hear what the commissioner had to say. Again, that's coming up in odds and ends, tail end of the hour. Next, however, the true skinny on what's happening in Libya on the flip side. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
Who's still entrenched in Libya? Muammar Gaddafi, we've been talking about it way before this happened, of course. And now Libya and U.S. officials say that the two governments actually had some talks in Tunisia over the weekend. Washington is stepping away from some of the things that have been reported and saying really the point of the meeting was to demand that Muammar Gaddafi has to go. So what gives here? All kinds of things are happening. Who better to have on America Tonight than terrorism expert Jeff Atticott? Jeff, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, it's always a great pleasure, Kate.
So what do you make of this weekend meeting? This has been so long. It's been like 4 months.
Yeah, if one word to describe the Obama administration in its most, and to be kind, it would be schizophrenic. It's incredible how the State Department contradicts the Department of Defense in many cases, which contradicts the president's view, and the NATO view is contradictory, and the so-called allies have their own view. The latest, of course, is the United States has indicated they're going to unilaterally recognize the rebels, even though we don't really know who the rebels are, as the legitimate government of Libya. But that doesn't really make much sense with their previous stand that this is a united effort and that the United Nations is the one that authorized the use of force in Libya to set up the no-fly zone. So why shouldn't it be the United Nations that steps forward and recognizes this rebel government instead of the United States doing it unilaterally by itself? It's simply not consistent. If your position is that this is a world effort, then and we're not leading, then why are we trying to lead in this next step with recognizing the rebels? That's the most troubling thing because is it today? Is it Monday? And what's our position? Is it Tuesday? What's our position? There's just no continuity, no consistency. Gaddafi's not going anywhere, and he's going to stay in power as long as he is able to maintain his military prowess. And NATO is going to run out of patience at some point. And, of course, at the end of the day, we're going to lose. If we don't kill Gaddafi, which would be illegal, in my opinion, under the use of force authorization, we've got to kill him to achieve victory, because there's no other way to achieve victory. And unless we get real lucky, that's not going to happen. He's an expert at hiding in bunkers and moving about the city.
Yeah, and you think there's no way. I agree with you. You know much more than I do about the military X's and O's and the factors in this, but I there's no way this guy waves the flag. I don't know what they're talking about in France, saying, well, maybe he could still live. Did you hear that story? Maybe he could still be in Libya, step aside and not have the power and just still be there and let the people decide. He could just still hang out. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd. The people, you know, it's absurd. He's a dictator. He's not going to let the people decide anything. He has supporters, and he has people that do not support him. And there's many, many people that do support Gaddafi. And, oh, by the way, as we pointed out on your show before, we are now killing civilians. The very people that we were saying that we wanted to protect and stop civilians from being killed, NATO's killed lots of civilians in the capital of Tripoli and other areas that are on the side of Gaddafi. So we're clearly taking sides when we said that we weren't taking sides. We're clearly leading the effort when we said that we're not leading the effort. And we're clearly spending $1 billion of money that we do not have, with no clear definition of victory, no clear indication of what we're doing, and still playing this game that is not war. You know, it's still a military kinetic activity. So it's just it's absolutely incredible that our own news media lets this administration get away with this type of buffoonery, and no one's really calling them on it.
Yeah, and getting dragged into this in the first place, part of this was he was certainly, the president I'm talking about, seemed to be goaded into it with what happened with the UN, right? Because that was after the UN decided to go after Gaddafi and what's going on in Libya for humanitarian reasons. That's when Obama kicked in, right?
Well, many people say that Obama views himself as the leader of the world because he consulted with NATO and the UN when he made the decision to go into Libya, not with their own Congress. You know, he's spending his time consulting with non-U.S. citizens to involve the American people, our money, and our military in a war, and didn't consult with us. But, oh, he went out of his way to consult with NATO and the UN. So it's justified that many people are upset, particularly in Congress. Like, well, what are you doing? You're supposed to be our president. We don't want a leader of the world. We want a leader of this country.
Yeah, I agree. How much of NATO is the United States? We talk about this on America Tonight. If you looked at a pie chart and you had to say, how much is the U.S. anyway?
At least 85% of all the military and financial and logistical support in NATO is contributed by the United States. And that's one of the things that our Department of Defense has been very upset about, because NATO is really a shadow organization. We provide everything for it. The general right now that's in charge of NATO is a U.S. general, and part of the complaint by the United States has long been that, hey, NATO, you're not contributing anything to these conflicts in Afghanistan, in Bosnia, and Herzegovina, and now in Libya. You got your name on there, and you're flying a couple of planes here and there, but without us supporting NATO, NATO would collapse. We are NATO.
Yeah, absolutely. We say that all the time on the air. People question that. It's like, no, that's what you don't realize. And when you say, let NATO take care of it, is that just because people don't realize how much of NATO we make up, as you said, especially when you talk about military and the dollars and all that? 85% is a very, very big number. You mentioned this in talking about the rebels, too. We don't even really know who the rebels are comprised of, right?
No. I mean, the rebels are slick, and we know that Benghazi, for example, which is the main headquarters, if you will, for the rebel factions. If you had to list the top 10 radical Islamic cities in the world, Benghazi would be in that list. It's a hotbed for radical Islam. And whatever you say about Gaddafi, and he is a bad guy, at least he was against the Al-Qaeda and radical Islam. He was more of a dictator in the pattern of Saddam Hussein. Bad guy, yeah, but they're not fomenting, exporting, advancing radical Islam. They are locking radical Islamic extremists up. They're killing them, and that's what Gaddafi was doing to maintain power. And now the cat's out of the bag, so to speak, and who's going to address the growth of radical Islam? They have freed thousands of hardcore Islamic radicals from the jails of Libya, and these guys are smart. When the cameras are rolling, they put forth a defected major or defected lieutenant colonel that was in the military who speaks English and seems very calm and collected and says all the right things about Washington and Jeffersonian liberties. But that's all a shell game. It's all a front. In my opinion, if Gaddafi ever does go, what will replace him will be far, far worse than Muammar Gaddafi in terms of what our interests are in the region.
Yeah. We can't let you go without talking about this, because you and I have been talking about this, I think, since the first conversation we ever had. You know, where's the end game in Pakistan? All these other marbles across the board, if you will, in the Middle East. But yet now we see the things that have been happening in Pakistan, and obviously the SI just riddled with corruption. What do you think the move should be there for the U.S.?
Well, I just wrote an op-ed, and I'm going to put it up on our website. It was posted on a Texas law enforcement website. It's going to be in a magazine. But basically, as we discussed before, President Obama had a golden opportunity for us to emerge out of this quagmire in Afghanistan with victory, and he had no idea what to do. When he addressed the American people about a month ago, he should have done the mission accomplished speech. President Bush closed down the al-Qaeda training camps. We're at war with al-Qaeda. They're the main enemy in the war on terror. And now we have killed Osama bin Laden. Mission accomplished. We are leaving Afghanistan as soon as practicable and get out as quickly as possible. And the world would buy that narrative, but they'd say, yeah, okay, we that sounds reasonable. You guys won. And the voices that say, you got to fix Afghanistan because it's the right thing to do. You've got to build these schools and do all this stuff. Those voices would be marginalized because that is a mission impossible. It's never going to happen. But instead, the president mumbled about having the Taliban included in a new government and withdrawing the 33,000 surge, non-surge, right before the elections. And then in a few years, we'll get everybody out. I guarantee you, even though the president doesn't know how to claim victory when it was given to him on a silver platter, the enemy will. The radicals will claim in a few years when we finally limp out the back door, we drove the Soviets out, we drove you out, and they will claim the victory. The narrative will be bought by the world, and they will recruit hundreds of thousands of new radicals to the flag of radical Islam, all because this president could not seize the opportunity of victory when it was given to him on a golden platter.
Yes, it'll be status quo and then beyond, as you said, declaring victory and then punting into the future and producing that more radicalized humans anti-Western.
95% of the people in Afghanistan that we're fighting, the Taliban, al-Qaeda, they can't read or write. So they don't have Fox News and you to tell them the other side. All they hear is what they hear from the madrasas, and they'll see the Americans leaving, and they say, oh, I guess we won. Allah's on our side, and radical Islam is going to grow.
Yeah. Jeff Attucat, always insightful terrorism expert. Thanks so much for popping on to America Tonight.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to herbalhealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbi and Super Fem Plex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at herbalhealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I filed from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
I like to see you move right across the floor.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, all those nooks and crannies in between. Really pleased to welcome to the show Veronica Gray. She's got a book out called Swim Without Sharks, The Real Surfer's Paradise. And so with that, let's usher her in from our virtual green room. Veronica, thanks for popping on the show.
Well, thank you for having me on our show. And yes, that definitely played a role on this poor young little girl getting attacked. Sharks like to feed after the sun goes down. And that is when they're the most active. They're actually not very active during daylight. So one of the tips in our book, Swim Without Sharks, that we give on our tip sheet is don't go into the water just after sunrise or just before sunset. Sort of wait 2 hours after sunrise and get out of the water 2 hours before sunset just to be ultra safe.
Right. So when you go back and look at attacks, a lot of them do happen in those times of day, don't they?
Yes. A lot of things happen because of the time of day. I don't know if you're familiar with the film Soul Surfer.
Yeah.
Bethany Hamilton, whose arm was bitten off by a tiger shark, she went in just after sunrise. You know, and surfers love doing that whole early morning surf, which is why we put together a directory where, okay, if you're going to do that, find a beach where sharks have not been spotted in recent history and where there have never been a fatal shark attack.
Yeah.
So it's just a few tips that people can do to you know, enhance their safety.
Mm-hmm, no kidding. And we should say you're a surfer. So you're a surfer, and I guess you had a terrible fear of sharks. How'd you get over this fear?
Well, Kate, I haven't gotten over the fear of sharks. I just feel like everything in life is based on probability and statistics, and you can do things that sort of minimize risk. Like, obviously, there's a lot of car crashes, but you get in the car, you try to buy a safe vehicle, you wear a seatbelt. It's sort of the same thing. If you're going to go out and surf, pick a beach that is not, you know, shark territory. And I just started surfing this April, which is why this is all new to me. And I got bitten by the surfing bug. I just all of a sudden fell in love with it. And I realized this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I started compiling a list because I am irrationally afraid of sharks. So I started compiling a list of all the shark-free destinations. And I thought this could actually be helpful to other people. I know I'm not the only person out there who's afraid of sharks. And then I took it further and thought, wow, this could actually save lives. And so that's become my mission, is to help people and to save lives.
Yeah, you talk about some of the safest beaches. Where are the safe beaches? What are some of the safe beaches in the country?
In the United States, there have only, out of all the states that have oceans, there are only 5 states that have never had a fatal shark attack. And those are Louisiana, Maine, Mississippi, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. And I know that the most popular beaches are in California, Hawaii, and Florida.
Right.
So that's why you want to do things like, don't go in, you know, just after sunrise or before sunset. Don't wear flashy things that attract sharks. Don't splash around a lot. Stay out of murky water. Don't swim in places that have suddenly steep drop-offs, or that are near river mouths where sharks like to congregate and feed. We have a whole bunch of tips in our books about sharks.
What you can
do to avoid shark attacks, and what you can do to, in case you come in contact with a shark, that's sort of
punch them in the nose. Aren't you supposed to hit them in the nose?
Well, yes, hitting them is is one of the tips, but hopefully it doesn't even come to that.
Right, you don't get that far. Yeah,
hopefully you don't get that far with a shark, because depending on the kind of shark, sharks are aggressive in nature, and any sort, just provoking them a little bit will already provoke an attack. So the best, I guess the best defense is no offense, just trying to get away as fast as possible.
Yeah. We're speaking with Veronica Gray. She's got a book out. She's talking about Swim Without Sharks, The Real Surfer's Paradise. You also talk about in the book the number one place in the world where you never, 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 ever swim or surf. Where is that? Where's the number one place in the world? I mean, I'm like going through beaches I know, Veronica, and I'm not sure what it is. What's the number one place?
Well, that is a great question, Kate. And out of all the countries and continents, actually out of all the continents in the world, there's only one region that is notorious for consistent shark attacks, and that is South Africa.
Really?
So, no matter what you do, you couldn't pay me $1 million to surf in South Africa.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. The statistics are like, if, for example, there are other parts of Africa where they've had shark attacks, but they're not fatal. In South Africa, nearly every shark attack ends up being fatal, because that's great white shark haven. That is the great white shark's favorite territory, and you probably saw that thing on the news recently where a great white shark jumped onto somebody's boat. So that's how prevalent they are in those waters. They're literally jumping out of the water into your boat.
Yeah, breaching. I thought only whales breached. I mean, who knew that they would just plop right into your boat? And that was a research boat, so you can imagine how shocked they were. It's just so lucky, because what also happened there is the shark was thrashing around and cut a fuel line. They had to be towed in. It's so lucky that nobody happened to be standing on that part of the boat, or they would have been goners, I think, or at least knocked into the water if they were lucky, because maybe they could have gotten them out of the water. But who knows? I mean, that is such a scary thing. So I agree with you on South Africa, just based on, you know, what you were saying, and then, of course, that incident and the fact that so many of them congregate there. What are some of the things, what are some of the products that you can get that would protect you from sharks? I've never heard of that before. I mean, there's got to be some things, and I'm sure you list them. What are some things that you should get?
Well, there are two shark repellents that are out on the market that I would like to get, and I've actually been in touch with these companies. I haven't heard back from them, but so I'm not speaking from having tested them out myself, but I've researched them, and they seem like really great products. One of them is an ankle bracelet you can wear, and how it works is, you know how there are dog whistles out there that only affect dogs? Well, this ankle bracelet you can wear sends out an electromagnetic pulse that apparently does not appeal to sharks at all. And so if you put it on and if there's any shark in the vicinity, it sort of repels them. This is made by a company in Australia. They're about $500. But if they work, really only one person needs to be wearing it and it would protect that entire beach.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. That'd be nice to have somebody have that on to just kind of get your back there, huh?
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, it's someone with the repellent. What, why is it, we talked about great whites, and somebody told me this before, but that it really wasn't the great whites that they are killers, but there were others that were that much more dangerous, like the bull shark is a dangerous shark, and even these blackfin sharks, which is the one that attacked the girl in North Carolina. So there are certainly, if we went down a list, there's some that are not as harmful, but the real, do you think the real killer is the great white or the bull shark, or hey, it's a toss-up?
Actually, probably the bull shark is worse because they will pretty much attack anything. When a great white shark attacks, they think you're a seal or one of their prey. A bull shark has been known to attack a floating tire. They're like the pit bulls of the water, the things that will eat anything.
Yeah.
So they don't need to know if you're its prey. They'll test you out. And bull sharks are also pretty the only shark, I believe, that can swim in both fresh water and seawater. So they're now being found in rivers.
Oh.
That's really, really scary. They're being found in, you know,
sure,
2,000 miles upstream in the Mississippi.
Oh, that's not good.
I know. I used to go into rivers and think, oh, well, this is safe. Nothing can get me here. Well, except the bull shark.
Which is one of the worst. Yeah.
Yeah, bull sharks are probably worse than great white sharks.
Yeah. You know, having said that, shark attacks occur, I guess, once every 5 days. You talk about it. Once every 5 days. Who knew? So it is happening.
Yes, it is happening once every 5 days. And that's why we compiled this list of, because while it happens that frequently, there are places in the world that it just never happens.
Right. So it's better to go to those places.
Right. And most people get attacked by sharks and it's an unprovoked attack, like this innocent girl you brought her up in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she didn't provoke the shark. She just didn't realize. And when we researched what was this list for the book, we wanted to clear as many places as possible because we wanted to give people a really good comprehensive list. You know, the more beaches, the merrier. But we looked at North Carolina, and as much as we would have wanted to clear it, so to speak, we couldn't put it on the list. We just couldn't because there were too many sightings and too
sharks.
Many sharks. Yeah, there were too many well-documented sightings, too many encounters. So that's all we're trying to say is if you have your choice where to go, if you're just going on a vacation, say you're going to a country like France, why not pick a beach that has never had a shark encounter or sighting as opposed to one that has had? you know, don't wait until it's a loved one, whether it's your spouse or your child, that gets attacked by a shark before you realize, I should have thought of that. It's unfortunately happening frequently enough that if you love your kid, you're not going to let them ride in a car without a seatbelt. Why would you bring them to a beach without checking out what's been in the water? It's not our element.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. All right, Veronica Gray, again, the book Swim Without Sharks. Boy, I second that. The Real Surfer's Paradise. Good luck with the book.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. And most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
We got a couple of big things topping odds and ends. This is where we mix it all up and scream, Yahtzee! No, I'm kidding. It is like a bad game of Yahtzee when you think that America is now officially grounded. Yep, we're stuck on the planet Earth. What does that mean? When we want to go into space, we got to hitch a ride with the Russians to the tune of $60 million. Yeah. We are. We're hitchhikers. That's what it amounts to. Now, some people listening to me will say, well, who cares? What are we doing in space anyway? What have we learned? And the answer to that is, I was as skeptical as well. And I dug a little bit deeper, did a little research. Turns out there are a lot of amazing medical advances, especially that we have come up with the technology, thanks to space exploration. But I get the money thing because it's ridiculous where we are in this country, so far away from sniffing black. So easy to say enough with the tin cans, the shuttle, 30 years and we're done. A lot of people lost their jobs too. Well, we'll lose their jobs officially on Friday. Like 2,500 people, something like that at NASA, maybe even some more. Remember Mark Kelly, who's married to Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, he retired because he was one of those commanders, of course, as was his brother. But that program is now done. It's over with. And the shuttles are headed for museums. So with the astronauts coming back, that's it. You know, this last go-round, there was a big build-up for the last couple of shuttles, and for good reason, because it does symbolize a few things, including the fact that, as I mentioned, we got to go to Moscow now if we want to go up in the up in space, and we do have some people who live there that, so that they're able to work and do certain missions. And the Atlantis now will go on display at the Kennedy Space Center. Got all those contract workers that are out of gigs. And Cape Canaveral will look a little bit different. Because now that it's landed, that's the end. And you actually, I watched a little snippet of some of the video that was shot in and around, you know, Kennedy Space Center. And you had a lot of people that were just crying and had those red eyes where they were rubbing them because this is it. This is it for their jobs. And there are also a lot of people in the economy there that thrive and just flat out survive thanks to what goes on at the Space Center. So you got the double sonic booms slamming the silence, and it's the last time they hear that sound of the shuttle coming home. 5:57. It was a 5.2 million mile journey. Wow. 5.2 million mile journey. That puts it into perspective, doesn't it? And then those familiar words, mission complete, Houston. So it's done. It's over. Well, is it over or not when it comes to the NFL? You know, we call the segment Odds and Ends. I know that there were a lot of people that were hooting and hollering because they assumed that, okay, the owners voted across the board. They approved the deal with the players, so we're done, right? And this is it. We got a deal here. We've got a collective bargaining agreement. And speaking of weeping, that's what Roger Goodell, the commissioner, looked like he was going to do at any moment. And you've got the NFLPA executive director, who represents, of course, the players, DeMaurice Smith, who said after the owners' vote that there was no joint agreement. There was no joint agreement. So he sent word to player reps saying that the workers' compensation and some of the other issues are still unresolved. So the proposed collective bargaining agreement with 1,900 players would last through the 2020 season. And, you know, is it close? Is it, so what's the deal? The Carolina Panthers owner, Jerry Richardson, who, of course, was there for the owner's vote, said it's pretty fair and balanced. We've heard those words before. Anyway, here's the commish.
It is time to get back to football. That is what everybody here wants to do. We will be prepared to open the training facilities beginning on Saturday, this Saturday. We will then be prepared to start the new league year next Wednesday, subject to the full membership of the players.
All right, so the interesting thing is the first preseason game, which they said, oh, no, this is definitely not going to get canceled, the Pro Football Hall of Fame game between the Bears and the St. Louis Rams, canceled because of the delay in opening the camps. So it was supposed to happen on August 7th. The regular season will open on September 8th, provided that they figure out these little things that Smith is saying doesn't work. Remember, the league's owners were the ones that imposed that lockout back in March. And since the lockout, both sides have faced off in court, conference tables, You name it, they were talking about it. And really the heart of this thorny issue between the players and the owners was how to divide up $9 billion in revenue. Boy, that's a rough problem to have, isn't it? What? How are we going to do this? I want more. The players got about 60% under the old agreement. The NFL owners took $1 billion off the top automatically. So the good news is that cities and people with those extra jobs and Sundays across America are not ruined because we'll actually have some football to watch. Plus, one of the most popular segments that many of you participate in, even if you don't like sports, because I say it's like picking lottery numbers only for free and for great prizes if you nail the score, we have nailed the score that would be back and intact. Otherwise, we weren't sure if we're going to be able to do it. Because who wants to do it with rugby? No offense to all those rugby fans out there, but that wasn't going to happen on America Tonight. We absolutely needed to have the NFL. The heat wave that is going on around this country seems to have no let-up, no end in sight, especially when it comes to the record highs that we're seeing that have been shattered Wednesday and Thursday. 60 records, you know, because that's always what weather people talk about. There was a record set today. 60 records were tied on Wednesday. 22 people, sadly, have died, and their deaths are being blamed on the heat. So you've got this humidity. It's supposed to expand now into the Ohio Valley, the East Coast, for the remainder of the rest of the week. And these heat index values and how hot it feels are just crazy. 115, 120. Forget the watches, the warnings, and the advisories. Sit on a block of ice, because for goodness sake, you don't want to spend any serious time outside. No way. Anything that's going on outdoors, I would have to think, would be killed. Because who's going to... I'm sorry, am I going to sit in a blanket and listen to the symphony? Would be fun if it was a little bit nicer. But am I going to fry to do that? No. You can put on a CD and simulate it. Put your blanket on the floor. And that's what's happening. In Chicago, boy, they are bearing the brunt of it. About 7,000 people, they say, maybe even more, are without power. So you have those ComEd crews, that's their electric company there, the main one anyway, working throughout the night trying to do whatever they can, working right now as we're sitting here talking on America Tonight. I mean, just extreme measures people are taking to find any kind of relief. In fact, they were saying that people hotwired. I'm going to hotwire my AC. I'll give you some. I'm going to sell it kilowatt per hour, and I'm not going to kill you the way the electric company does. They did run wires from one house to another. How about that? And in New Jersey, in Newark, New Jersey, it was so bad that the mayor there, Cory Booker, said, listen, we can't have these people melting on the streets, homeless or otherwise, and they're opening everything they can to help keep people cool. Even going around and handing out water and putting up cooling centers, they're that concerned. So for goodness sake, if you live somewhere where the heat index is 115 or 120, just don't go outside.